Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Let your blessing be released upon everyone, and thank you for what we have received so far. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap of hands as you take your seat. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Very, very quickly, I'll just quickly within a few minutes wrap up the series that we are on and then go in for the impartation this morning. Territorial dominion, this will be part 6, the ministry of John the Baptist. We have 2 pending issues to handle before we are done. 2 major issues. Media, am I in order? Luke chapter 3, verse 6. All right, let's start from verse 5. Is that right? Okay, verse 4. And it came, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Keep going all the way to verse 8. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now this is what bothers us the most. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Keep going, verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Two final things we want to examine, and then we are done. But I want you to observe that it appeared as if John the Baptist wasn't excited when he saw the crowd. Children of snakes, who told you to come for service? This looks to me very contradictory, because every pastor is expecting people to respond to his ministry. It doesn't fit into the normal scheme of things, because if you have been pastoring a church that was not half filled, the day that the church got filled and overflowed, you will be dancing, you will be celebrating. You should be rejoicing that your effort is producing results. But this man, it appeared like he got angry. You want to minister to people. People have come, and it appeared like you are hostile. Hostile to the people you are looking for. What is going on? Generation of vipers. Why are you running to me now? remain where you are? What is pursuing you? Who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't even be imagining yourself that you call yourself children of Abraham. God can cast you aside and raise other people. As I investigated it, I realized one thing, and that is where we are going. That territorial dominion will command the pool of the multitudes. But when the multitudes arrive, standards must be both maintained and raised. That is our point number 8 on the line up on 9. Territorial dominion. When you do the thing you are meant to do, the multitudes will arrive. But when they arrive, standards must be maintained, sustained, and even raised. The meaning is, a major challenge of quantity is quality. Most times when quantity begins to increase, quality begins to decrease. We noticed that we were more intense with our first set of pastors in terms of at times 7 hours of non-stop praying, a whole week of pastors meeting, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We noted that we were more intense with the first set, the earliest set, than newer ones. As the need for more men increased, it appeared as if the process to become a pastor became shorter. When you do screen, okay, let's just do a review and do a screen and let's see who is pastor. Then you begin to get shocked. Oh, is this a pastor? If you will not be committed to quality, avoid quantity. Otherwise, you invite calamity. And I will give you 2 reasons. A level of instruction will bring the multitude. It takes another level to mature them. A level of effort brings the people. A level of investment in prayer, investment in preaching brings the people. It takes another level to mature the people. And you know the second reason. When multitudes arrive, multiple attitudes arrive. When multitudes arrive, multiplied attitudes arrive. Many attitudes arrive. When multitudes arrive, there are people among them that are snaky. That was why he called them generation of vipers. Snaky people will be among the people who come as members of church. People who will misrepresent the church will come among them. People who will present the church in bad image outside will come among them.
people who will come to attack the church from inside will come among them. You heard Bishop Dark's message already. False brethren will come among them. What the Bible called the mixed multitude will arrive. The mixed multitude, the one that gave Israel the worst problem in the wilderness. Was that Numbers chapter 11 and verse 3 or 4? Where he said the mixed multitude fell. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell and lost him. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? The real multitude was corrupted by the mixed multitude. So when the church begins to grow, that is not the time to begin to relax. That is not the time to begin to rejoice. That is not the time to begin to celebrate. When the ministry crowds begin to grow and people begin to multiply, that is not the time to relax. That is the time to become more intense than you were before they came. That is the time to become intense in prayer. That is the time to spare nothing when you teach. Are you hearing me? The opposite is what we normally do. We celebrate. We jubilate. Church is growing. Pastor, that is a major tragedy of the American church, right? The bigger they grew, the more normal and more entertaining they became. The more natural they became. The more of the things of the world they began to import into the church. Everything became until the world was churchy and the church was worldly. And then the churches began to crumble from the leadership down, began to collapse one by one. John the Baptist showed us that what to boast in is not the quantity that came around you, but the quality in the quantity. Somebody came to our church in area one in those days. We were running 6 services with overflow. And the person came and said, I want to come and really find out whether this number of people I'm seeing on the television are there. If they are there, why will they be seated there and still be hearing the kind of things they are hearing? And still sit there and not go? Because we preach on evil money. We preach on there are monies you can't drop in this offering here. We preach on the iniquity of sin, the collateral damages of iniquity. The essence of Christian. Those kind of rugged words. See, why are the people still coming? Now, the more John the Baptist preached, the more they trooped. Where are you running from? Go back and be destroyed. Because that is your life. They say, yes, we are snakes. We agree. We are coming. Quantity will command, quality will command quantity. If we insist on quality, it will compel further quantity. If you didn't hear anything, Pastor, when you return back to your base, shift in prayer fire. As a pastor, as a church, shift in teaching intensity. John the Baptist was not struggling to be seeker-friendly church. Do you understand? Let's do all of this kind of thing and then we'll please the people. When the church increases and is beginning to multiply, that is not when to preach what you think the people need or what you think what the people want. That is not when to preach what you think the people will like. That is not when to preach what is popular in town. That is not when to preach what is in vogue. That is when to preach ruggedly.
ruggedly.
And if you may, I'll identify to you 4 or 5 of the content of the message of John the Baptist to the people. I don't know what we are looking for. But God will not send us multitudes to pastor them to hell. Don't forget, a level of prayer, a level of preaching brought the people. Another level will mature them, establish them, root them. It has to shift, it has to be higher. The Bible said, he said to the multitudes that came to be baptized, he said to the multitudes, he was doing some big things first, but as he cited the multitude, he shifted gear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say aloud, amen. What was John the Baptist doing, number one? He showed them their true nature. When people, when we stand in front of the people, we must let people know what their true nature is. Without being insultive or abusive, this is the true nature of man. Number two, he revealed the eternal outcome of such nature. Reveal the eternal outcome. You are a generation of vipers, you are snaky, there is a rot to come. He revealed the eternal outcome of such nature. Thirdly, he placed on the people the demand and responsibility for change of life. He placed on the people the demand and the responsibility for change of life. It is okay for the people to come the way they are, but it is an abomination for them to remain the way they came. You didn't hear what I just said? It is okay for the drunkard to come the way he is, the prostitute to come the way she is. It's okay for the drug addict to come the way he is, but it is an abomination for him to remain the way they came. It's an abomination. Any preaching that does not place on the people responsibility for change is an irresponsible preaching. Any preaching, any message that people hear and they cannot say, this is what I want to do with this message, is an irresponsible preaching. There must be responsibility, change of lifestyle, change of character, change of relationships, change of one thing or the other. You outline. We preach and we say counsel at the end. We say counsel. We say action point, conclusion. This is what to do. This is how to do that. Is that communicated? John the Baptist placed on the people responsibility for change of life. Nobody is interested in exaggerated revelations without responsibility. In highfalutin doctrines without any responsibility. There are times people hear a message for 1 hour and they ask themselves, okay, what do I do with this message now? What do I do? What to do must be clear. What to do must be clear. And how it is applicable to life must be clear. Somebody say amen. Amen. Pastor, are you hearing me? We get so excited. Oh, crowd is everywhere. And we forgot why the crowd came. One day, I went to the immigration office to do a few things. Many years ago, passport renewal and so on. And I saw everybody just run around, daddy, daddy. Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. Oh, before you knew it, a crowd gathered. And they were all around. Hey, hey, daddy, daddy. So and so, controller general, assistant controller general, they all want to be prayed for. On our way, I told my wife in the car, I said,
Do you see the way all these people respect us and bow for us and greet us and honor us? If we don't tell them the truth and they go to hell having encountered us, it's unpardonable before God. You enjoy their love for nothing. You enjoy their respect for nothing. You enjoy their submission for nothing. And then, you know, and that is all that you achieved. And you can't tell them that this is the way to go. This is how to live. This is what to do. I say it will be unpardonable. God will never forgive the man. Who only had fun in ministry and never really touched life in reality. Please, when you go back, be loving, be excited, be happy, be joyful that God is helping you and increasing you and increasing what you do. But in the midst of that, take the standard to the higher level. Take the standard of preaching higher in terms of intensity of what you are saying and the applicability to the lives of the people and how much you want lives practically changed. Take the prayer level, the prayer demand to another level in terms of trusting. He said, my little children, of whom I traveled in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Place the demand. He placed the demand and responsibility of change. Can I see another screen here? He placed on the people the demand and responsibility for change of life. Number four, he knocked off all their assumptions. Don't think to yourself that you are seed of Abraham. He knocked off, because a lot of people assume a lot of things. That we can act in certain ways and still be alright. He knocked off all their assumptions. And he showed them that they were not indispensable. Five. He showed them God is able to raise up this seed for Abraham. He showed them. Many times pastors want to behave as if God cannot survive without the people in church. Many times we preach as if God is helpless if the people are not there. Many times. In many ways, especially in the way we raise offering on television. If you don't give, we may not go for the next crusade. Who sent you? The one who sent you for the next crusade should send you with the resources. We behave as if God is stranded without the people. We behave as if even the pastor is stranded without the people. John the Baptist, I'm here to tell you the blatant truth. If you think you are too important, watch God raise seed for Abraham out of stones. Watch God do without you. Some of us behave as if we cannot do without certain big men in church. Or certain sponsors of church. There are people. No, when we came to town nearly, and we looked here and there and there, some of the churches we saw, not all of them, some, you could find an identifiable sponsor. Identifiable. This is the pillar behind the church. This one is a financial pillar. This one is a, and we were looking, we had none. We had none then, we have none till now. Do you understand what I'm saying? We didn't understand how it was working. And some were getting a lot of things done. But we followed God at our pace. By His mercy, the kind of things we are doing now, by His mercy in a month. Some may not be able to do in a year or 2 years or 10 years. You know, there are testimonies we cannot share. There are things we can't talk about because some people may die when they hear. There are many, many things we can't talk about. When we were ready to go to America, the last time we went to America, two planes were waiting to take us, two, to go and come, free of charge. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? There are things you can't talk about.
There are people who, so we had such sponsors. This one is a sponsor. This one is behind this ministry. John the Baptist said, I am not depending, neither God nor me is depending on any of you. It's when we come to that level, then everybody adjusts themselves. They will respect your God and respect your mantle, and you will respect them. So there is mutual respect. Beloved, when quantity increases, anytime you begin to pray for growth and for crowd, count the cost for the sacrifice that will come along with it. While we are here now, there's a 24-hour prayer going on now. Somebody's praying right there every hour. I know when it started, but I don't know when it will end. I came back from terrorism, a very, very terrible terrorism attack. And I was in Kebbi State for crusade. Do you have the clip of the Kebbi crusade? This year, March, I was in Kebbi State for crusade. And that was when I heard God speak to me to mount a watch. Mount a watch. A watch unto a rescue of a nation. A watch unto restoration. A watch unto revival. We started it. It's not like you are arranging some people to pray and you are not there. You are the one. Every new week, I'm the one to introduce a new set of prayers by myself. Praying on my own watch, my own time. You have the Jalingo? Kebbi? Do you understand what I'm saying? God is looking unto us. Looking unto us with a demand. And if that is all that I can say today, I have spoken too much. That's all right. While I was here, then I had to launch, to mount a watch. Take your seat. Territorial dominion will command the pool of the multitudes. But when the multitudes arrive, standards must be maintained and even raised. Finally, he said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. The ultimate assignment of the minister is to raise a fruit bearing generation. Produce forth fruit meant for repentance. The ultimate assignment of the minister, the territorial commander, is to raise a fruit-bearing generation. That is, you are not just talking to people. You are multiplying fruit in the earth. And when I say fruit-bearing generation, it is two kinds of fruit, basically. Number one is the fruit of character. In Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse 3, the Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, trees in lifestyle, trees in character, trees in right doing, that he might be glorified. To raise
bear fruit of character. And number two is fruit in soul winning. Proverbs 11 and in verse 30. Proverbs 11 and in verse 30. He said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. So he that winneth souls is a fruit bearer. Pastor, by the time we turn the members into fruit bearing people, fruit bearing kingdom people, by that time we overrun the earth. Genesis chapter 9 verse 19. Genesis chapter 9 verse 19. It said, these are the three sons of Noah, and out of them the whole world was overrun. Noah gave birth to three sons. The three sons gave birth to other sons. The sons gave birth to 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 sons. Until the whole world was overrun. The whole world was overrun. The whole world was overrun. We can overrun the world. We can overrun Nigeria. If every Nigerian pastor here is going to raise the people in fruit of righteousness and character, where people can watch their lives in their offices and watch the lives of their colleagues in the office and the lives of their neighbor and come to Jesus without a preaching. And then we raise fruit of people who are in active soul winning activity and they consider it their Christian duty. We'll overrun the earth. You know our major challenge? We are permanently prophesying blessing on people that God is not blessing. Somebody is saying, why are you talking like that? You don't want me to tell you what God does with people who don't bear fruit. You are blessed. You shall succeed. You shall prosper. And God said, how? And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful. Genesis 1:28. You can't be blessed without fruitfulness. God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful. You can't be fruitless and be blessed. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful. In other words, if you are ready to be fruitful, you will be blessed. If you are not ready, pastor, minister of God, church member, if you are not ready to be fruitful, you are not qualified to be blessed. What happened in Mark chapter 11 verse 12 to 14? I'll round up with two more scriptures. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came. If happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. I will talk about that another day. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eats fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. The fruitless fig tree, was it a blessing it received? Why are we trying to bless the fig trees that are not fruitful? Why are we blessing fig trees that are not fruitful? You may not curse, but at least a blessing is not what a fruitless fig tree deserves. So we are wasting pronouncements. Wasting decrees, wasting declarations. The fig tree had leaves, but no fruit. I studied the fig tree, and I realized that fig trees bring fruit only when there is leaf. When you see leaves on the fig tree, there is meant to be fruit on it. They shed their leaves if they are not bearing fruit. So this one was bringing fruit, bearing leaves. That was what took Jesus to the fig tree. That was what took Jesus to the fig tree. He was deceived by its look. Many of us, our look is deceiving the world. We sing Christian songs. We dress like one. We do everything except that there is no fruit inside. We look flowery. We look attractive. We look churchy. Except that there is no fruit. There is no fruit. Jesus was deceived and arrived at the fig tree. And the Bible said, and Jesus answered. I was asking, is he a human being? It means the fig tree spoke something. You only answer when somebody says something. Jesus replied. The fig tree spoke with his action that it was fruitful. And it was not fruitful. And maybe he spoke in his own language. I thought you call yourself Savior or Messiah. Why didn't you know that I don't have fruit? And you came looking for fruit. And Jesus answered it. No man eat fruit from you forever. Why are we releasing blessing on unfruitful people? Church members, why are we struggling for the blessing when we are fruitless? Why are we quarreling with God? That all these years I have been coming to church, I have not seen any result in my life. When there is no fruit in our lives. You didn't hear what Jesus did to that tree in Luke chapter 13? When he gave a parable about the tree that could not produce fruit. And he said, cut it off. Cut it down. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, the same fig tree, planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit. So God will always look for fruit from the church, from the pastor, from the minister, from the membership. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he again answered unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. But if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Do you know that it is possible to be cut off from divine resources, and yet you are standing in the physical? There are many who are standing like Samson, but divine resources have been cut off. They are being cut off from God. They are standing. I give you the final scripture on this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 8. He said, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. If it is that earth that is bringing forth fruit is receiving blessing from God. He said, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is near unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. When you return back home, increase the intensity of your impute as you expect the crowd and as the multitudes multiply. I've come across people who have gone for big meetings. Stadium was filled. No altar call. A few people drew my attention to setting up such meetings. Say, can you imagine? What was the aim? There was music. There was everything else. Message was there, almost non-existent. What kind of 21st century spiritual jamboree? Not an altar call. Not a soul saved. Why take the net to the ocean, to the river, and you didn't cast the net? What are we after? The fame, name? Fame, name. I've been to some places before. And the Lord told me, what these people need is more of intense word than any miracle. Said, here, this particular place is more of life-changing, character-molding. The greatest miracle they need here is a changed life. Not just that a blind eye opened. As the crowds will increase the intensity of your prayer, the intensity of your teaching and instruction. And then, this will translate into the raising of a generation of fruit-bearing people. You are bearing fruit. You are raising fruit-bearing people in lifestyle, in soul winning. You may not be able to go to Madagascar, Venezuela, but wherever you are, go into all the world, into all your world. Your street is your world. Until God moves you forward and forward and forward. Don't kill yourself. But start from where you are. He told Abraham, from the place where you are. Everywhere you are is good enough as a place to start. Stand up on your feet. Fruit bearing. I have an addiction and a passion. We arrive at the airport, crowds arrive. Well, I have a sharp word for you. They all must be led to Christ. All of them, without exception. All of them. Everywhere. Nigeria, outside Nigeria. All of them. Hotel lobby. You have witnessed that. Hotel lobby. All of them. Let's raise. We'll take territories, dominate territories as we raise a fruit-bearing generation. Lift up your two hands and just speak to God right now. 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 Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. I receive the grace for in Jesus' precious name. One day we were talking with Papa Yedepo. He said, Paul, there is no rest in this walk. There is no rest until the day we are out. No rest. What they call success is more demanding than failure. By the time you say you are getting results, and you are becoming successful, the demand is more intense. What runs this place a month? This place. Not everything, just power. Just power demand of this place. He has built a church for somebody and dedicated it. Every month. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? If you are not ready for such demands, then leave it alone. Remain where you are. We can't even talk about it, especially with this new band-aid and everything now. We are trying to work out our own solution. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's far more demanding. Far more demanding. That's how it is. And like they are talking about Judas Iscariot and Absalom in the message. If out of 12, one was a Judas. Okay, what if they are 120? 10. What if they are 1,200? 100. If you have what 12,000, 1,000. That's the ratio.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I have 120,000 members. You may expect 10,000. Except God helps you. Right? And they are attending the service. They are in church. One of the worst kind of those set of people that you will ever meet are those who know that they are Judas or Absalom. Who will not change and will not leave church. You see them, they see you. Like they talk about online attack and all that. They are in church, they are with them on the online. You see them. Some devil agent put something. They are in church. They like it. They are attacking Daddy G or any other person. They like. They click like. They share. Comment. They are inside church. There are those that the people in church know. I mean, that is, they know the person. I saw so and so person's comment or like. But for as much as Judas Iscariot could not succeed, and Absalom couldn't succeed, both they and their collaborators are eternal failures. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Judas and Absalom's can never prevail. Somebody say aloud, amen. Father, help me to meet the demands of growth, the demands of territorial dominion, the pressure demands at the place of prayer, the demands in terms of intensity of teaching the right thing, the demands. Please, when it comes to teaching people the right thing, don't look at faces and don't pity them in terms of, no pity. If you pity your child, you won't give him quinine. That is, I hope this is not too heavy. No. I hope it's not too bitter. I hope it's not too heavy. These are newcomers. Let's manage them gradually. No. My mother said, you can't have a child and fear the face of the child. And my mom was something else. You say that so those person fear the church, his own child's face. Oh yes, the awkward tree cannot be told. No matter, you will look as straight to your face. She won't cane you. No cane once. But word is true. It's not insult, but the word will cane like, it's more than cane. When you try next time, when you remember the words. Can a person be fearing the face of the child? At the age of 7, she will tell you things that you should be telling an adult. Detail of matters. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like I told people, I say, when we grew up, there was nothing like youth church or anything. We had Sunday school. But everybody at the end, we were inside the same church. So we had the same raw message. No wonder those of us who gave our lives to Christ then at age 17, 18, 19, we had the raw death to serve and all those things with those elders. So we come up. Today now you have a church for children. Church different for youth. And then certain things that is allowable among them. Somebody, one of our members said, somebody told her, why are you in that church? That's talking about our church. That is a church for older people now. Come and join our own. It's young people. You will meet people your age range. That's our own church. It's our own age. And the sister said, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for age mates to fraternize with. I want God to change my life. I want God to help me. I'm not looking for age mate kind of church. Those who followed Moses, there was no age categorization. The youth were there. The adults were there. Everybody were there. Children were there. Somebody say a loud amen. That doesn't excuse youth church existence. We have here. They do their service and join us in the second service. Do anything you want, do. Join us in the second service and hear what you are hearing. And whoever is pastoring them is not saying his own things. And not doing their own things. And if you hear them minister here on Sunday with the youth choir, heavy presence. Following the steps of their senior brothers. Am I communicating at all? Please, unlike us, make up your mind. We will do it right. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to do it well.
To do it well.
I receive the grace to do it well. I receive the grace to do it well. I receive the discipline to do it well. I receive the grace to bear fruit. Go ahead, speak to God 1 minute. In the name of Jesus. Let's take the 2-3 verses of that song and then we'll go into the impartation briefly. Ancient words. Ever true. Changing me, changing you. We have come. Start from the verse. Holy words. We have come. Oh, let sing. Holy word, holy word, love preserved for our world. In this world, here we stand with God's own hand. Oh, let the nation word be done. Holy word, holy word, long preserved. For our in this world, we are now with God for now. Oh, let the ancient word, ancient word, ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come, we have come, we don't. In this world, where we roam, ancient words will guide us home.
Again.
Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us grow. In this world, where we roam, ancient words will guide us home.
Sing it!
Say the ancient words, Lord. And we thank you for changing our lives. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name.